Continuing my postscript to my story, because of the lady who wrote and appreciated my story, her heart has been softened, she has more understanding about people who struggle with homosexuality, and she says, and she asked, would I be any different if society were different? And I'm responding to that question right now. Thank you for joining me. You are listening to How It Happens. This is Colin Cook, a broadcast on the grace of God to men and women in various addictions, drugs, alcohol, sexual issues, or simply the anxieties of life and the difficulties. We are looking at those in the light of the gospel. The fact that our God has graciously come to us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, to carry our burdens. So, I hope you will enjoy this continuing postscript. There are further things to say, though, in response to the lady's question who wrote to me about my story. One of the major questions she asked is, would you be a different person today if you grew up in a more tolerant society? So I answered so far that the issue of my struggle with homosexuality was not a societal one, that is, society imposing certain standards upon me, but rather a response to what I saw in the Word of God, which said that man was made in the image of God, male and female. God said, let us make man in his image, male and female. That's the primary modus operandi, the primary reason for my going forward in attempting to grow beyond the struggle with homosexuality. But there is another side to it. I think if the church had, that is the denomination that I was a member of, had been more understanding and more tolerant, it would have been easier to make progress. You know, David in the Old Testament speaks about fearing the judgment of men more than the judgment of God. You remember when God said, when he had numbered Israel and God was going to punish him for doing that because he was relying on numbers, relying on the power of men rather than God, God said, you can choose your judgment. And he, interestingly, chose the judgment of God because he knew that God was more merciful than men. And that is quite a statement when you think about it in relation to human nature. Human nature is inspired by Satan. There's no question about that. It is only when faith comes in and faith creates a new humanity in Christ that we have mercy and we have an understanding of people's plight and difficulties. But without human nature, we are devilish. I mean, without the grace of God, human nature is devilish. It will place heavy burdens upon others, heavier to be borne than any human nature could possibly bear. And the church, if it is a legalistic church, and the church that I was in, was very strongly oriented towards perfectionism and legalism, would see homosexuality only in the context of sin, wrongdoing, a wrong act. But I was beginning to see and learn that homosexuality was much more than a wrong act. It was a wounded heart, a deeply wounded identity issue. That is to say, somewhere along, at least for me, I have to say this, in childhood, my sense of self, my sense of identity as a male in my father's image, that is my human father's image, my sense of being male, being masculine, was very, very damaged. And so what develops later on in the adolescent years is a desire to reconnect with the male identity that one had lost. Of course, you don't realize what's going on. You don't know you're doing this. You want to connect with males, that is, of same. You want to connect with people of the same sex, but Often by that time, after puberty, it's connected with sexuality and romanticism. The fact of sexuality, the fact of romanticism, the fact and the desire to get close and intimate with the same sex is not itself a sin. It is how we deal with that issue later on, by manipulation or dishonesty or seduction. Those are the sin issues. But the desire to discover oneself as a male, or a female seeking to discover herself as a female by connection with other women or men with other men, is a God-given thing. And yet, because of our delusion, our distortion, our misunderstanding of human nature, because of not knowing what's really going on, we connect that natural desire with what we see as a sinful desire, because it is now connected with sexual issues. I hope you're following me. I hope you understand me. But this fact has been absent from churches. We have failed to understand that there is a sin and a woundedness, that the sin needs to be repented of, but the woundedness is something that has to be healed. And the only place of healing, I won't say the only place, but a major place, ideally speaking now, is the church, where there are surrogate mums and dads, surrogate brothers and sisters, where we all start linking together in a fellowship that helps men and women to heal. But because the church, that is, if the church is legalistic and has a perfection agenda, then, of course, this problem, as they would see it, is an interruption in their goals to become perfect before God. What's needed is a church that is ready to look at the woundedness of a child and the woundedness of our humanity, our grown-up childhood, childness. We can be grown up and still have childhood needs. A church is needed to be able to understand that and to nurture, but that wasn't there for me. I thank God from the bottom of my heart that it was there in Him to a certain degree, because we cannot say that God answers all needs, because He intends to answer many of those. That is, we cannot say that God answers all our needs directly from Him, because He intended to answer many of our needs through and via human beings. That's why he said about Adam, "It is not good that he should be alone." God had in mind a companion for Adam, a human companion, one like himself. And so, even though the church did not provide and could not provide what I was greatly in need of, I do thank God that the fatherhood of God and the fatherhood of Jesus has become more and more precious to me as the years have gone by, because that was a fatherhood that I was missing. Both because my father had to be away during the Second World War, and also because he was an industrial fisherman after the Second World War and therefore was away 10 days out of 12. And the fatherhood, the fathering in churches, just seems not to be, in most cases, a conception, an idea that is very, very real. But my Heavenly Father became more and more precious to me as a father, knowing that He cared for me, knowing that He forgave all my sins, knowing that He counseled me and guided me. That was precious and very helpful. But would I have been different if I had grown up in a more tolerant society? I think so, but not humanistic tolerance, not human indulgence tolerance, not laissez-faire tolerance. Well, you know, let everybody just do what he wants as long as he has a good time and doesn't harm anyone. Not that kind of tolerance. An active, caring, loving tolerance based upon truth. That's what I needed, and that's what so many wounded believers need today. You may be listening to me right now because you are wounded and because you hear an understanding voice, a person who has gone through the mill and understands, therefore, your journey through that mill, a person who knows that God is merciful and yet draws us forward into greater and greater maturity as the years go by. I think we would all be different if we lived or if we communed in churches like that. The lady then goes on to ask, would I change any of my struggles if I could? You know, that's a very interesting question coming at the time that it did. Because I would have said last week, no, I don't think I would have changed any of my struggles if I could. I wouldn't have changed them because I see God in all of my struggles, bringing me closer to Him, helping me to cling to Him, giving me an understanding of His grace and of the plan of salvation and of the way He has redeemed us through the atoning work of Christ. All of that has come about to me as a revelation resulting from the tremendous difficulties of my life. But something happened this week, and I'll be telling you more about it a little later, but something happened this week that did make me pause. I was looking up some old letters. I mean really old letters, letters 40 years old and sometimes 45 years old, going back to my college days, and a number of very lovely people in my life, lovely guys in my life, Gérard, Ole, and Lasse. Ole was from Iceland, Lasse was from Sweden, and Gérard was from France, and I knew them all in college days. And I had attractions to them that made me feel ashamed and guilty and needy. And they were heterosexual men. There was no involvement with them that way. But when I read letters from them that had been written 5 or 6 years after college days, I realized how much they cared for me and how much they loved me. And I realized that I, at that time, could not receive that love. And so, do I regret that? Of course I do. Could I, if I could change any of my struggle? Yes, I would. And what would it be? I would have changed the ability to receive love. I recommend that to you too. Open your heart to love. There are more people out there that love you than you may realize. Yesterday, I put the check in the mail for KLT, rather 2 days ago, they received it yesterday, for $800. That is the mail for the rent, and the rent of this radio broadcast. $800. Please, could you help? I don't have, as usual, unfortunately, at the moment, the money to cover that. The KLT sends it forward to their head office, and it takes about 10 days to process. And so if there are funds that you have available and you would like to make available to the radio rent because you're appreciating this broadcast, it is training your faith, then please send your check to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80150. That's 80160, I beg your pardon. FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. Thank you so much for your support. And I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.